Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey Patrick, with all this hard work we've been doing, entertaining the peoples, I think it's time we take a few days off.
Hello, Rock in the Suburbs. This is BJ Bonin from St. Paul, Minnesota, filling in for the illustrious hosts, Jim and Patrick, who are off doing breaky things. Over the last year or so, topics that have come up on Rock in the Suburbs have included a Genesis Week, a tribute to Neil Peart from Rush, a whole week of Frank Zappa. So those particular episodes that, you know, Zappa, Genesis, Rush, all got me thinking about prog rock and also their use of really strange or not so much strange, but unusual for rock and pop music time signatures. Now, for those of you who haven't really taken a music theory class or for that matter, haven't taken any music classes at all, since, you know, grade school, something like that, or don't play drums. There's a lot of drummers that listen to this podcast, which is really cool. Time signatures in music is how many beats there are in a measure. Basically, how the phrasing of the music works. So you've got, in 4-4 time, you've got the 4, which is 4 beats per measure, and then the second number is what is the note that represents the beat. So a 4-4 means it's a quarter note that represents a beat, and you'd go 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, versus a 4-8, which would be 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2, something like that. All right. So excuse the leg drumming there. That's the basic how-tos of time signatures in music. Now, if you know, there's a whole thing of tutorials out there on the interwebs that can tell you more about this and this. But for the purpose of pop music, just about any typical pop song is going to be in 4-4 time, and possibly 3-4 time if you really want to go back through, you know, classical music when it was pop music. So you've got a lot of, waltzes, for example, are in 3-4 time, and they're still in pop music today. So I'm not going to talk about any songs here coming up that are in 4-4 or 3-4 time. Some of these songs might have portions of them that are in 4-4 or 3-4 time, but by and large, they're all going to be in something other than that standard time signature. So, and hopefully you'll be able to listen to these songs. I'll put together a playlist and put it out there, and you'll be able to hear how these things stand out in pop music. Now, because we've already covered Rush and Genesis and Zappa over the last year, amongst other things, I am going to focus, instead of getting all proggy on us, I am going to exclude the 1970s from this. So there will be no Genesis. There will be no Rush. There will be no Yes. There will be no Zappa. But in the songs that are in this playlist, I'm going to show that these unusual time signatures both preceded and post-dated prog of the 70s. So let's start at the beginning, because it's a very fine place to start. Yeah, and today we're drinking Rush River Brewing's Chocolate Oatmeal Stout. It's a River Falls, Wisconsin brewery. I don't know where you can get this around the country, but I highly recommend this, and they've got an alt beer that's really, really good, too. So I just switched it up and got the stout today. So onward to more music. Okay, the first thing, let's just take this and count like we're counting, up. We're not going to count down like a rocket launch here, although, you know, that would be very Casey Kasem. But let's just not do that. So let's start with 2/4, two beats per measure. These things do occur in nature. If you go to a parade, a lot of the Sousa marches are going to be in 2. Polkas are in 2. And this first song I'm going to pull out, first of all, let's just listen to one right now. This is one you haven't probably heard of. This is Pete Krebs, Told You So.
We'll love you one time.
Yeah, they hear that, the 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. That's a polka. Other songs that, one song that I'm sure everybody here is very familiar with that's in 2/4 is End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. So, now if you want to move on and listen to a waltz, a 3/4 song, then I just direct you right to Elliott Smith, which has also had its own episodes in the last year. So, I'm not going to look them up. We'll just put it in the notes or something like that. But Elliott Smith is known for his waltzes. He has several, and they're beautiful. But because it's pop music, it's standard pop fare, I'm not even going to discuss it. Just like the 4/4s, 90-some percent, okay, maybe not that much, but just about every pop song you're going to hear is going to be, and rock song for that matter, is going to be in 4. So let us move on to 5. Now, I said we're going to exclude the 70s. Here comes XTC's English Roundabout, which isn't technically in the 70s, but we're going to play it anyway. More songs in something like 7 than there are in 5. 5/4 songs are kind of difficult to find. Another band that is very well known for 5s is Stereolab. This song is Percolator. Percolator is a fantastic song. And another thing that Stereolab actually has in common with Genesis and Zappa is the drone. They have what's called a pedal tone, which takes a chord or a note and plays that behind the rest of the song. And that is a neat little trick, and it is a trick, to get really cool chord phrasings out of very standard chords. Hi, cat. I know. Yeah, you guys have Shadow the Dog. I have Rolly the Cat. So the pedal tone is a neat little trick, and you will find all kinds of bands that use that. The best one that I've seen is Yola Tango, where James McNeil will put like a stack of quarters or something on his synthesizer and then play bass over that while that keeps rumbling on. It's really a cool trick to use if you're trying to get really complicated chords out and you're not a jazz player or something like that. So you can just play play your normal chords over a different chord. Elton John does that too, come to think of it. It's a common trick. It is a trick, and it's a really cool trick. And so more bands should do that. But we're talking about odd meters here, even though I kind of wanted to veer off onto that pedal tone thing, because that's something else that has that. Okay, now we're into 6-8. We've done the twos, skipped the threes and fours, did the five, now we're into the six. The 6-4s, 6-8s are common. 6-4 is a common Genesis thing, but we're not going there. So I am going to show you my favorite 6-8 song. It's Hypnagogic by Kitchens of Distinction, which has also come up on a previous show. So one way you can tell a song is in six and not three, even though they're divisible, is by following the lyrics or the riff and counting that out. If you can divide that by three and it makes sense, then it's in three. If it only makes sense within a context of six, then, you know, then it's in six. And you can do the same thing with 4-4 versus 8-4. And that'll come up later with one of the more higher numbered songs. So now we've done 2, 5, and 6. Next up, 7. There are, you know, 6-8 by itself is a, or, you know, sixes is a common time signature by itself. 7 is a lot more common than you'd think. Two songs that everyone has heard is Money by Pink Floyd. That's in 7-4. And All You Need Is Love by the Beatles, which is also in 7-4, or at least parts of it. Other songs I'm not going to play for this include Soundgarden's Spoon Man, Foo Fighters, Times Like These. But I'm going to start from the 60s here with the Monkees. This is Love Is Only Sleeping.
Turned away and said, once I loved, but love is dead. And I whispered, sometimes love is only sleeping.
That's just a really pretty song. And that's one that also has the choruses are in 4-4. You got to count that song by the guitar riff. And it's a really tough one to count. And then Mike Nesmith's vocals over the top of that. I'm not sure what time they're in. That's just a really difficult song. And if you listen to the Monkees, first of all, you can tell that no one thought that they were going to do that well, because a lot of their songs are really complicated. And then of those complicated songs, you'll notice that Nesmith and Dolenz get the vocals for the really complicated ones. It's like, here you go, Mike. Good luck. Anyway, that's a really tough one, and you don't see... If you do see a cover band doing that, they're a good cover band, because that is not an easy song to play. All right, this next one here is a really cool song. Canadian band, Broken Social Scene, 7-4 Shoreline. That song is just incredible. It's beautiful. It's got the solos in 7. It just keeps rolling right through. The whole thing is in 7. Most songs that are in 7 will often drift off into some other time, just like a 4/4 time for a solo, because it's really hard to do that in 7. So now we've done 7s. I would do 8s, but that's too close to 4/4, so or 4, which is common, right? But we'll get to that. There's an 8 coming up. 9, I recently heard a song that was in 9, but I don't remember if it was in the car on the radio, and I don't remember for the life of me what it was. It's really, that's another one that's unusual. You know, Supper's Ready by Genesis is in 9. It's actually Apocalypse in 9/8. But we're not going to go there. This is not Prague Week. A lot of these bands, especially since Prague, 80s and beyond, are definitely influenced. We're going to move right on to 10. 10 might be the rarest of them, even though it's an even number. You know, that means, you know, people want to clap or stamp along. They will not be out of time at any point. But there's a really cool song that's in 10 that I'm going to show you right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Warhol. So now, being done with 10, what's next? 11. This one goes to 11. Now we're getting into a band that might as well be considered prog here, even though they're not from the 70s. Primus. Primus has all kinds of time signatures going on. But this one is one that you've probably heard if you've heard Primus songs. This one, in 11, is called 11. Into a song that's in 11, it's almost like it's got a hiccup to it. And that's the beauty of these odd meters, of these really strange time signatures, is that they tend to have a hiccup to them, and it's just really cool. So now we go to 12, but 12 is indistinguishable from 4 or 3, depending on how it's phrased. And so I'm just going to skip over that and go right to 13. Now, this song is a challenge. It is in 13/16 time, which means it's a 16th note, which is like, I don't know, a blink of an eye in musical time. So trying to count this one out is, we're going to have to take their word for it. It's in 13/16. But I'll challenge you to try to count this one out. But you'll notice it's all over the place. It's like, it might as well be in 1. Anyway, here it is. The Becoming by Nine Inch Nails. But it's pretty cool. Anyone that can do that, that's just such a, that's a lot of skill involved with that. How do you keep track of that? Okay, so from there, I'm going to go to a song that's in both 14 and 18. So challenge you to count along. The chorus, or the verse and the guitar riff is in 18/4 time. And then there's a little transition, a vocal transition off the back of that guitar riff when it stops. It's in 14/4. So we're getting into counting stuff here. I'm counting this one as 14, even though more of it's in 18. Kate LeBon, I Can't Help You. That's a great riff. And 18/4 time. You don't see that every day. Some might argue that 18/4 time is four bars of four and a bar of two. And that could be very true. You could do it that way. But the vocals right there that go along with that riff are all also in 18. And when they switch to 14, the vocals are also in 14. The phrases work in 14 beats in that part just before the chorus, and then during the while the riff is going, they all work in 18. There's nothing that says four in there. Now we're getting to the last ones. I'm not going to go all the way through because that's a lot of homework. And how many songs are in 17? I don't know. I'm not about to find out. This next song is in 15/8, and it is from one of my, I don't know, top two favorite records of all time. It is by The Pretenders. It is off of their first record, which, if you listen to it, that record has several songs that are in non-standard time signatures, which is really makes it a that much more of a brilliant record. For a debut band in 81? I think it was 81. I could be wrong. Utterly brilliant record. Strongly recommend it if you haven't heard it yet. But this song is my favorite song of Pretenders of all time, Tattooed Love Boys.
So there's 20 doors around her heart, back and blue, but you love boys. I tore my knees up getting to you because I needed to find out what the thing was for. I've been reading. A man's time came to explore. I went
but I didn't mean it. But you mess with a good star, you gotta pay. A good time is guaranteed for one and all. The tattoos, target practice in the hall while waiting for their number to get called out. I found out.
Yeah,
what
you can count that as 7/8 and 8/8. And then the chorus is an 8/8, right? So 7 plus 8 is 15. The vocals and the guitar each go off of the 15s, although you could also count that as, you know, 7/8. But who's counting, right? Well, I guess we are. That's why we're here. If you're still with me, you finally found that. And just to show the 8 part, I'm just going to play here that damn guitar. It's so good. That's an 8, the rest of the song 7, plus 8, which is 15/8 time. Now, one interesting thing here about guitar solos, and in general solos, that the 7/4 Shoreline song didn't have, but most of these other songs do, is that the solos that are involved are usually in straight 4/4 time, or, you know, 8/8 in the terms of that Pretender song. Money by Pink Floyd. The sax player probably thought he got a raw deal because he had to play the solo in 7/4 and then the guitar solos in 4. It's like, hey, wait a minute. I had to play in 7. The 7/4 Shoreline song, all the solos are in, you know, what they are all in 7, are all in the 7. The whole song's in 7. But usually finding songs that are in strange meters like 5s and 7s and 15s and 11s, you're going to, when it comes to a solo, it's a lot easier to improvise. It's not even so much an easy thing. Improvising when you're recording a solo is difficult enough. And if you're trying to do that in some weird time, you're just going to waste time in the studio. So I'm going to just keep going here and close it out with a song by Swerve Driver called Future Ruins, and this one is in 22/4. Of course, the chorus on that one is 4/4, but the really slow tempo, and it's hard to figure out that it's in 22, and you kind of not realize it. You realize that it's got that it turns around a little bit in the rhythm, and then it kind of ends at a weird spot. It seems to both linger and cut itself short at the same time, which is kind of a cool effect. Now, you know, hopefully that, you know, this is, you're still here and you haven't been bored to tears, but I'm just, figured that this was a good tie-in to show that strange time signatures are not limited to prog rock. I urge you to call in and express your opinions of strange metered songs and give your own examples. Because they're out there, and usually they're songs that really, really stand out from the rest just because they're in such a funky time. This is BJ Bonin filling in for Jim and Patrick, and you're listening to Rockin' the Suburbs.